Find our scripture reading this morning, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and reading from verse 51, please. Now, when you're finding the place, let me thank Denver for leading the meeting, for his words of welcome, and my thanks to the pastor, to the elders, and to the oversight for the privilege of being here this morning to minister the word of God. Denver and my daughter Lynn are members with you here in the church. But my connection with Lurgan Baptist Church goes back to the year 1968. For in April of that year, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. And that Tuesday night is as real to me just at this moment, as this moment is. For I can remember bowing my knees before the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and passing from death unto life, a new creature in Christ. April 1968. I was baptized in the old church in Winter Avenue. And then I joined the church. I was brought into fellowship in 1969. Then I got married and I left. And I moved my membership to Ralph Freiland. And in those days, you were given what was known as a dismission slip. And this dismission slip was signed in April 1972 by the then secretary, Samuel Best, commending me to the work in Rough Island. And that's how long I am in Rough Island. I became an elder there in 1980. And they still acknowledge me as an elder. So it's good to be with you this morning. And that's my connection with Lurgan Baptist Church. So thank you for having me, and the Lord bless you richly indeed through the ministry of his precious word. Paul said in verse 51, "Behold, I so show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor was not in vain in the Lord." And the Lord will bless to our hearts this reading from his own precious word for his dear name's sake. A moment's prayer, please. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, and in the Holy Ghost, we come to thy throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help for this hour. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that you will grant a very gracious handful and purpose for all here this morning. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while we wait on thee, and hush our hearts to listen in expectancy for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. I want to speak to you this morning from verse 57 of our reading. But thanks be to God, which giveth us believers the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And victory in the Christian life is the gift of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This text to me is a very, very precious text. The victory that comes in the Christian life to the believer is through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes it a praise-producing victory. If there's one thing that the victory of Jesus Christ will do in our lives, it is to produce praise. It will be to produce thanksgiving to God for all that he hath done for us in our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory that God gives to us is not only a praise-producing victory, but thank God it is a personal victory. For this victory that God gives us is to each and every one of us. It's not just for apostles. It wasn't just for the New Testament prophets. It's not for evangelists. It's not just simply for pastors and teachers. The victory that God gives for us is for each and every believer, no matter who we are. And this victory that God gives us in Christ is not only a praise-producing victory. It produces praise and thanksgiving. And thanksgiving and praise in our hearts, there's a goodness about it. There's a gladness about it. There's a joyousness about it. But remember that this victory that God produces in each one of us is a personal victory. There's victory in Jesus. But more than that, the text tells us that it is a powerful victory. This victory that believers have in our Lord Jesus Christ is the gift of God, and the gift of God alone. And victory is in the power of Christ. And this victory is for every soldier of the cross. So it's a praiseful text. It's a precious text. It's a personal text. It's a powerful text. It assures us that there's victory in Jesus. And this victory is the gift of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, it's a very positive text. The victory that God gives us in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a very positive victory. It is God which giveth us the victory. And we will rejoice in God's salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. You see, there's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the king. As an ensign fair, we will lift it up today, while as ransomed ones we sing. As we go on our Christian pathway, let us lift up always the banner of the cross. Let us pin our colors to the mast, and let men and women know that we belong to Christ. Here's a quotation for you, and I felt it was a very wonderful quotation, and I want to share it with you this morning. In John 5 and verse 40 we read, where the Lord Jesus Christ saith, "Come unto me." And we come to him by faith. And when we come to him by faith and receive him as our Savior, we become the children of the living God. But as we trust our Lord Jesus Christ for each step of our pilgrim pathway, we become overcomers in the Christian life. What is the victory which God gives to his children through our Lord Jesus Christ? He gives us, first of all, victory over sin. He gives us victory over Satan. He gives us victory over the world. And finally, he will give us victory over death. What a glorious text it is. Here we see in this text that there's victory given to every believer in Christ, and it produces praise. There's victory given to every believer in Christ, and it's a personal victory. There's victory given by God to every believer in Christ, and it's a very precious victory, for this victory comes to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this victory that God gives us in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a very positive victory. Lay hold of it by faith. It's yours, dear child of God. It belongs to you. God gives you the victory. Every virtue I possess, and every victory won, is His and His alone. Beloved, if we are going to be successful in our Christian life, then we must look on to Jesus, the author of our and the finisher of our faith, and set our affection on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and walk even as He walked. First of all, victory over sin. Sin is a mighty enemy, isn't it? And it is a tremendous power. And before it, man is helpless, and the law is powerless to save. But Christ can save us from sin's curse, penalty, power, and presence. In Romans 6 and verse 14, we read of a very powerful promise of victory. Listen to it, dear child of God. You who are troubled and tested and tried, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Here's the truth of the gospel, that we are dead unto sin. And reckon yourselves by faith to be dead unto sin. For when Christ died, we died with Him. When Christ was buried, we were buried with Him. And when Christ rose again, we rose again in Christ to newness of life and to a life of victory in Jesus. Are you living a life of victory over sin? For the promise of God is this: sin shall not have dominion over you. Claim your possessions in Christ and go on to live a life that will praise and glorify God, so that He will say to you when we meet Him in the sky, "Well done, good and faithful servant." God guarantees us victory over sin. Secondly, there's victory over Satan. In 1 John chapter 2, we read this: ye have overcome the wicked one. How do we overcome and resist the devil in our Christian warfare? How do we do it? The Christian life, beloved, is a warfare. And the enemies are many. They're mighty and malevolent. And Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this world, and this whole world lieth in the lap of the wicked one. So how do you and I overcome the powers of darkness? There is only one answer, and that is by the sword of the Spirit. And only by the sword of the Spirit, and knowing how to wield the sword of the Spirit, will we overcome, even as Christ overcame, by the word of God. Friend, we are shut up, we are closed up as Christians to the word of the living God. We are saved by grace through faith. I take Him at His word indeed. Christ died for sinners, this I read, and in my heart I find a need of Him to be my Savior. It's through the Word that we're born again. It's through the Word of God that we have victory over Satan. It is written, and there's no other way. When temptation comes, resist the devil by the Word of the living God. You will remember back in Old Testament times, King David had his mighty men. One of those mighty men, on one occasion, had to defend a patch of lentils. The enemy was coming in, and there he stood with his sword in his hand. And he fought off the enemy with the sword. He had a tremendous victory with the sword that was in his hand. And after the battle was over, and beloved, he was praising his fingers of the hilt of the sword, that the sword stuck to the palm of his hand. And I wonder this morning, is the Word of God an extension to our hands? When temptation comes thick and fast, can we turn to the Scriptures of truth? Can we quote the Word of God that will cause the devil to flee? Friend, this is a victory that overcometh Satan. It is written. Let me show you this in Psalm 91, please. Psalm 91. And I want you to look with me, please, at verse number 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth and shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Look at verse 11 of Psalm 91. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy foot. Beloved, listen. The devil came to test Christ. He said he will give his angels charge over thee, but he misquoted the Scriptures. He left out this tremendous phrase, to keep thee in all thy ways. He was trying to blot out the Scriptures of truth from the mind of Christ. But listen, Christ knew the Scriptures. He knew what was written. And the devil fled from him. He kept out. The devil wanted to keep thee in all thy ways. He left that out. The devil omitted it. But Christ found it. He used it. And thus the secret of Christ's victory over Satan's temptation lay in his obedience to the will and to the word of God. Can we quote the Scriptures like that? Beloved, I hope we can, because the day is coming when God, and the God of peace, shall really bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Here's the victory. There's victory over sin. There's victory over Satan. And thank God there's victory over the world. And the victory that overcometh the world is our faith. Christ not only defeated Satan on the cross, but he has overcome the world for us. And it is by faith we are united to him. And he gives us the power to overcome. For it is Christ in us that gives us the victory. It is Christ for us that gives us the victory. It is Christ with us that assures us of victory. And we with him. Thank God he will never ever leave us. He will never leave us alone. We can trust him. We can take him at his word. We can believe in him. For he hath assured us that he is with us and that he will never, ever forsake us. Who is he that overcometh the world? And this is the victory that overcometh the world. even our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is union with our Lord Jesus Christ that is the great secret of victory. Victory in this life. Victory over the power of sin. Victory over the power of Satan. Victory over the world. And victory over death. Look, we're back again in 1 Corinthians, please. Chapter 15. We're back again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin has power. Sin has tremendous power. And death has a sting. And the grave has a victory for all those who are out of Christ. But praise God, not for his children. Praise God for the children of God. There is victory beyond the tomb. Death shall not have victory over you. There's a book written by a man called John Gray. He was an old Brethren man. And in that book, he wrote concerning a Dr. Pesson. And he was about to breathe his last. And he is reported to have said on his deathbed, "The battle is fought. The battle is fought. And the victory won. The victory is won forever. I am about to breathe, to bathe in the ocean of God's peace and purity to all eternity." Brethren and sisters, there's victory in Jesus. There's victory over the power of sin in your life. Remember this, that Christ bore the penalty for our sins at the place called Calvary. Remember, beloved, that there's victory over Satan. We have overcome the wicked one through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's victory over the world. And thank God, in the day to come, for the believer, there will be victory over death. Death has a claim upon you. Death has a claim upon me. This thing called death is written within our members. But Paul saith, "Behold, I show you a mystery." We're not all going to sleep. But we're all going to be changed. And then he speaks to us of a wonderful certainty. He says we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we're going to be changed. And that's a wonderful little phrase, in a moment. The Greek word is atomos. An atom. A point of time so brief that it cannot be cut or divided more. And such will be the rapidity of our passage from the world of living or from the grave of sleeping to meet the Lord in the air at his coming. And there's not only a mystery here and a certainty here, but there's a necessity here. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death, is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It might well come about if the Lord tarries that you and I will have to die. If he tarries his second coming, we will pass through this article of death. And we will be buried. If the Lord tarries his coming. But look, there is this glorious truth. We have got this wonderful assurance that if we go to heaven by the way of death, or the Lord comes and he translates us to be with himself, we still have this victory. The bodies of the believers in the graves will come out. This corruptible will put on incorruption. And these mortal bodies of ours will put on immortality. And then will be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And the victory is assured. But beloved, as it flows, I want to say this. In verse 58 we read, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God hath assured us of victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over Satan, victory over the world. But this leaves us with a tremendous responsibility. And the responsibility is this, that we be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. May each and every one of us know this victory in Jesus. May each and every one of us rejoice in the great truth that Jesus is coming again and he will give us that ultimate victory, life everlasting. Dear child of God, we are God's children. By creation. We're God's children by redemption. We are God's children by adoption. We are God's children by election. We have got pardon for sins. We have been planted by rivers of waters to bring forth fruit in season. We are a peculiar people. We are a priestly people. But listen, there's a day coming, and that day is maybe not too far distant, when we will be a presented people. When we will be presented by our Lord Jesus Christ before the throne of his heavenly Father with exceeding great joy, and he presents us without having spot nor blemish, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing. Such is the victory that God hath given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. And before you leave the meeting this morning, go in just now and by a very definite act of faith, possess your possessions. Claim the victory. It's yours. It's a God-given victory. And it's yours by faith. and our Lord Jesus Christ. We're on the victory side. Jesus Christ is coming again. And he could come this very morning. But the thing is this. Are we walking in victory? Are we living lives that are glorifying Christ? And when he does present us before the throne of his Father with exceeding great joy, will we be assured of that heavenly commendation? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Oh, to be a victorious Christian. Oh, that we would have the victory day by day that God gives us in Christ over sin and Satan and the world and finally and ultimately over death. What a glorious future is ours as the children of God. Are we really rejoicing in these things? Do we really give thanks to God for these things? Do we really command everything that is within us to bless the Lord? Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Do we know the joyousness and the comeliness of thanksgiving and praise unto our God? Because, listen, friend, every victory that is yours in Jesus Christ will bring forth a paean of praise from your heart and soul. And you'll know within yourself that this victory doesn't come from the power of the flesh. It comes through the power of the indwelling Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. And he wants you this morning, and he wants me this morning, to really stand up and be counted. And if ever there was a day when Christ needs men and women to stand for him, this is the day. This is the day. This is the hour. Is the Lord calling for you to lay your deadly doing down? Down at Jesus' feet and stand in him and him alone. And be gloriously complete. Complete in Jesus. And when we are complete in Jesus, then we will be able to claim the victory that God gives us freely in Christ Jesus. You wonder why you lapse so quickly into sin. You wonder why you're so quickly overcome by some besetting sin. You wonder why? Why do I feel so often? Why? You're depending far too much on self. My good friend, Pastor Ken Humphreys, says quite often when talking to believers about obeying the Lord, he speaks about the obedience, the expedience of obedience. It is always expedient for the believer to be obedient to the Word of God. And when we are obedient to the revealed Word of God in our lives, then the blessing of God will come and victory will be ours. Victory. and it can be yours. As it was with Dr. Pesson on his deathbed, he knew victory. The battle was fought. The victory was won. And it wasn't his. It was Christ's. And the victory is guaranteed to you if you'll trust and obey. God bless you this morning. Amen.